Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Elizabeth Stanley, who's starring in The Bridges of Madison County at the Kennedy Center coming up on June 28th through July 17th. Elizabeth, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Thank you for wanting to talk to me.
Of course we would. Why wouldn't we want to talk to you?
You've got a lot of people in your town.
We do. It's amazing how many, especially, you know, speaking of the Kennedy Center, how many national awards they hand out and, you know, events that they host. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg was just there hosting their spring gala on Babyface, and Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton was there.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then, of course, you get the Kennedy Center honors, which I guess last year was Carole King and George Lucas and Rita Moreno. It never stops. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're pretty excited to be playing there. It just is such a, you know, renowned, very special place that we're playing on our tour, for sure.
Have you ever performed there yourself?
No, I've seen friends in the sort of black box space, and that's the only thing that I've been there for.
Anyway, yeah, let's dive in here. Bridges of Madison County, it is, I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners will remember, you know, at least the movie. I don't know if they saw it on Broadway yet, but, I mean, that Meryl Streep, Clint Eastwood movie, I'm not afraid to admit, like, that thing made me bawl like a baby. When he's driving away,
you're not alone,
right? When he's driving away in that truck and hangs the thing on his rear view, and she's debating whether to open her door, like, oh, man, I was bawling like a little baby. Where were you when you first saw the movie version?
Well, you know, I'd never seen the movie.
Whoa!
Until after I got cast. And then Andrew, who plays Robert, he had also never seen it. We'd both read the book. And so we said, you know, we should watch the film. A lot of times I don't want to watch the film if I'm going to be doing a role. But it's so different just by the nature of it being a musical. And also I thought, well, because normally I'm worried about, like, accidentally sort of imitating, you know, whoever played the role before. And I thought, well, if I accidentally am able to pick up some techniques from Meryl Streep, that'd be okay.
Yeah, if there's one person that you might want to mimic, that she's okay.
Yeah, she's all right.
She might just be the greatest movie actress ever. But, you know, other than that. Okay, but as you said, you know, it's a different version than that because it's a musical. And I believe it was Kelly O'Hara, right, that did Francesca?
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And everyone knows she just won for King and I, right? Same actress. I believe.
Yes, last year's Tonys, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is quite the hefty role you got to play. Tell us, let's say if our listeners have seen the movie or read the book, how might the stage musical version be something, a little extra something for them?
Well, if you are a fan of both of those, I think you will be a fan of this also because it's very much the same story. It just has the added element of music, which I think, you know, some people are like, how does that work? You know, because they're picturing like tap dancing musicals, you know?
Right.
This is very much not like that. The score is really lush. It's a little bit like classical in some points, especially the stuff that Francesca sings. I think it's sort of influenced by her being Italian. And then a lot of the stuff that the other characters sing, like Robert and my family and the neighbors and things like that, which are more featured in this version of the story. Also, their music is like sort of folky Americana, a little bit country. So it just really flows very naturally into the storytelling. And it's already such an emotional story that the music just really kind of elevates it. But in terms of the storyline specifically being a little different, Norman, who wrote the book of this, she really wanted to introduce a little bit more of the sense of community and how, you know, Francesca's really living in a small town, and so people are very much involved and around.
I see. So it's less of just the two of them in the kitchen or in the house. It's more you just expand it out to the community.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, let's go through some of the songs a little, if you don't mind. I know the original, the OBC one, you know, the original score won a Tony, and the orchestrations won a Tony. So these are great songs here. Take me through. Is there a favorite one of yours? I know that's probably a hard question to ask. What about Almost Real? Is that a highlight?
It is. You know, it's funny. People often ask me what my favorite song is, and I usually don't say that song. And last night when I was singing it, I thought, I should say this song. I love singing this one.
Well, take me a little into what makes Almost Real great, and then follow up with, another one that you usually say.
All right. Well, Almost Real is great because within the context of the play, it really is interesting to watch. It's sort of a flashback moment. She's talking about her early life. So I like the information that it's giving to both Robert, but also the audience about Francesca. And then musically, it's really fun to sing. It's a kind of a big sing in terms of musicals. Like, it's a little bit more on the like heavy soprano side, which is really fun. And then I guess other songs, I almost always say the song Look at Me, because for me as an actor, like that's one of the first moments in the show when she's really like acknowledging and realizing that I feel different, you know, something has, something's going on here. And that's a really fun moment in life when you have that. And it's a really fun moment to play out and on stage.
How do you, is there sort of a way as an actress visually that you sort of show, like, cause you say inside you're feeling that, that switch is flipped, right? So how do you like project that to the audience?
You know what? You don't really have to do much because it's like you just kind of are doing what is written. And, I think the audience goes there with you so easily because we all, it's that really human nature, you know, we all know what that feels like. So just by playing out the story, I feel like it kind of, I don't have to like put on anything extra.
Okay. Awesome. Tell me about your co-star who plays the traveling photographer, Robert Kincaid.
Yes. Andrew Simonsky. He's so great. I'm so, so thrilled that I've gotten to do this role with him, opposite him, you know, for this whole tour. We've been friends for a long time in the Broadway theater community. It's kind of a small world. And so it was really exciting when we found out we both got cast, and it's been a great ride together.
In case our listeners, so you and I, obviously, we've talked about, you know, the movie and the stage version and the book and everything, but let's say some of our listeners have never heard about it. Give us a quick plot summary. If they've been living under a rock, tell them what Bridges of Madison County is about.
Oh, if you're not familiar with Bridges of Madison County, or if you've always chosen to just sort of ignore it, which I think some people do, so it's about an Italian war bride, Francesca, in 1965, who's living in a very small town, Winterset, Iowa. And she's married and she has two sort of preteen children. And her husband takes the two kids off to the state fair and she stays home for a moment of peace. And this photographer stops and asks for directions. He's a photographer for National Geographic. And these two people meet and there's just a spark between them. And then the next 4 days is sort of a, you know, a curiosity that evolves into a romance. And then when it's time for him to go, then some decisions have to be made and you'll have to just see it to find out what happens.
Ooh, that's a tease right there.
Right?
Yeah, I love it. Tell me how, because see, I still have these images from the film, you know, these steamy romantic images in my mind. How steamy does it get on stage? Are we? Can you still bring the family, or is it more of a date type show, or what's the deal with that?
I would not bring children.
Okay,
it's pretty adult, but you know, there's no nudity. There's no, you know,
right.
I mean, it's not like in your face, but it's definitely a romance. There's a couple scenes that you know, are in a bed and
gotcha.
It's just, there's a lot of insinuated moments. So
right, that's always better than the graphic stuff. It's leave it up to the imagination. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, it's really, I will say, it's really artfully done. I think it is truly romantic. Both the story, but the staging that Barcher has done, and the lighting plot is like outrageously gorgeous. So. It's a good date. It's a really great, I honestly think the perfect situation is to come with like your girlfriends.
Take me into the book itself. You mentioned that Marsha Norman wrote it, and I know she did what, Color Purple, Secret Garden.
Yeah.
What about her writing in, because we've talked about the songs, but what about the written scenes in between the songs makes them, you know, so juicy?
Well, you know, I love Marsha as a writer, and I think she's really great at bringing out the feminine in the story, and which is, as a woman, is really exciting because there's a lot of musicals especially that are kind of about a man or about a guy trying to win a girl, or a girl just like hoping a guy will fall for her. You know, they're a little antiquated. And so this is, she's just like created this great contemporary adaptation of the book. And it really is Francesca's story. It's really about her and the choices that she has to make. And I think that's part of what makes it such a relatable story, because now, you know, we're 40 years after this story is taking place in 1965, and the choices are a little different. You know, like Francesca married, I think, out of a survival tactic. She was, you know, her, everything that she kind of had was destroyed and lost in Naples. And so she married this Iowa farmer, and, you know, she's created a really solid life for herself, and I don't think she's unhappy in it. But I think then she does realize there are things that are missing when she meets Robert. And I think Marcia does tells that so beautifully and creates this character that is strong, but flawed and imperfect, but you still really care about her rather than judging her, which I think is really easy for everyone to say, oh, she's just having an affair. Like, I would never do that. But I think the way that Marcia has written it, you go, I don't know what I would do in that situation. That's hard.
Yeah, is that sort of the key, you know, in to this whole production, is to make it seem, you know, it's to keep the sympathy for Francesca and relatability, so you're almost in her shoes, so you're not saying, oh, who's this woman having an affair, and you know, lose sympathy for her, but instead you sort of get her dilemma. You get the duty of the family and her past and everything that's got her to this point, but then you also see the spark of desire and everything she's missing. So, is that sort of the key to pulling this off, is for us to be able to be in her shoes?
You know, I think that is it. And I don't think that it's hard to get there. I think because I think most of us understand what it's like, whether it's in a relationship or it's a job or whatever, at some point in your life, you know, there are things that we have to do because they're the right thing to do or because they affect other people.
Right.
And then there's the part of us that wants to do what our heart is calling us to do and what makes us happy. You know, I think we all are very familiar with that choice. And so it's, yeah, I think that's part of why it speaks to people, is because, it's like one of the hard things that everyone goes through at some point.
That's such a great way of looking at it, too. Expanded out beyond just this, you know, love affair, you know, on the surface. And it speaks to those larger themes of sort of our, yeah, what's in our heart and then what's in our head. It's like the head versus the heart sort of dilemma. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That old age-old tale.
Yeah, that age-old tale. But you've never seen it quite like this at the Kennedy Center. So come out with the Kennedy. Why? All right. Well, yeah. Before we go, why should our listeners, if they've listened to this interview, they're like, oh, okay, I was on the fence, but now I want to come see it. What's the?
But that girl sold me.
That girl sold me. Well, I didn't think she was gonna, but she totally pulled it off. My head was saying I don't want to see it. My heart was saying I want to go see it. And then now you brought him over to the heart side. So what's the final sell on getting them to come out there?
Well, I will say, if you are a music lover, the score is like worth coming just for that. It's really exquisite, and you know, it is Tony Award winning for a good reason. So come for that if you're a music lover. And if you are a lover of the book and the movie, then I really do feel confident that you will be so satisfied with this other telling of the same beautiful story. And if you're a hater of the book and the movie, as some people really are, I think you'll also be very pleasantly surprised. It's quite, the telling of this in the stage version is actually quite simple and sophisticated. It's a pretty bare bones set, and a lot of the story is just told with the actors and the, you know, the lighting, and so it's kind of intimate, beautiful, almost like a play, that I think is surprised some people, because, you know, the book is, in some people's opinion, sort of pulpy, and I think that this really steps away from that.
I love
so
it.
No matter who you are, you will love this.
That's a perfect sell. Real quick, you mentioned that it's sort of an intimate, sort of you know, stripped down sort of set. What are we dealing with in terms of, like, how do you guys recreate small town, you know, rural Iowa on stage?
Well, it's really, I think, really beautiful and really effective. But so our whole cast is about 18 people, and so there are many moments, and the ensemble of our show is so wonderful, and they're so, you know, sort of under appreciated because they're standing in the shadows a lot of this show. So there are chairs that sort of line the periphery of each scene, and then a lot of the scenery that is taken on and off, which includes sort of like a kitchen sink and a table and things like that, is moved by them, but not to use them as stagehands, but really to sort of show in a sweeping way as we transition from place to place that people are watching, people are around. And so their energy and their presence is, I think, really effective in creating that sort of small town vibe.
I like that concept. There you go. So they're always sort of a present in the background. Are they the town gossip that's going to start talking about this love affair? I don't know. It kind of makes a community feel.
That's the neighbor. Yeah, there's a character of the neighbor, and she is definitely the one who's like, spying and chatting all about it.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sort of getting a vibe. I kind of like the sound of this. I'm sort of getting a vibe that it's these sort of, beautiful songs between each other, but it's still almost like a... Like you said, it's like a play. It's not like a lavish, over-the-top musical. It seems like it's a little down-to-earth, let's say.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, it's very simple. And I think, as an artist, that's really refreshing because it invites the audience to participate sort of with their imagination also and what's going on, rather than sort of like being blasted at you, which, there are certain shows that's really effective and really fun, but this is very simple and sophisticated.
Yeah, certain you need that blast effect in certain shows. There's no way around it on some shows, but for this sounds like it fits the material. Before we go, tell me about a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up, and how did you get into acting?
What do you want to know?
Everything, all the sordid details.
How much time do we have? I was actually born in Iowa, so this story was really kind of fun for me. I've always known about it. I think maybe it seems special to me because of that. I was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and then my family moved to Illinois when I was 10. So my childhood was sort of half and half between the two states, but definitely Midwestern and definitely very, very small rural towns.
Is it true that it's is it heaven or Iowa? Is it like heaven out there?
Yes, exactly, right. I mean, it is a special place for me, for sure. All my extended family and my parents are born there, so it's kind of fun. But then I've lived in New York City for, 15 years or so. I went to the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music as a voice major, and then when I was there, I also got kind of bitten by the acting bug. And originally I was thinking, I'm going to do opera, but then I sort of changed my ways. So this show is really like a perfect, piece for me creatively. It's very fulfilling because I kind of get to do a little bit of classical singing, sort of, at least like almost as classical as you get in the theater world. But it's also really challenging acting role. So that's been a treat for me.
So you've been sort of gradually moving east. You went from Iowa to the Indiana school and then to New York. Okay.
Yeah, just creeping over.
Yeah, creeping on over. Did you do any musical theater like in high school?
A little bit. My high school, again, I grew up in a really small town, like literally the football field was surrounded by cornfields. So they didn't have like a, huge, awesome theatrical program like some schools do. But I drove my parents were really awesome about driving me to lessons and things like that in a town that was like 30 miles away. So I did stuff at the community theater there.
What was your first, do you remember your first show or one of your first shows?
My very first show, which was like, I was in probably like junior high, but I was in the Angel Choir of the Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
Wow. Yeah, probably. You have to come, people drive from miles away to come to that, to Iowa to see that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay. And then you said you got the acting bug when you were studying in Indiana. What gave you the bug?
Yeah, I'd certainly done a lot of plays and stuff at the community theater when I was growing up, and I should say musicals. I always liked singing more, and I think it's mostly just because I had studied it more, I knew more about it, and so I felt more comfortable and confident in it.
Right.
Then I think when I got to college, my eyes were just open to more material, and just taking like a straight acting class was really fun to me. And so I thought, I don't want to only just sing. And I also think I was surrounded by a bunch of other artists. And so I'm sure I was really influenced by my friends at the time. But there was a part of the classical music world, which is so wonderful and vast, but also there are guidelines. You know, I would say there's more black and white in classical music, or classical ballet for that matter, than there are in some of the other, you know, iterations of the forms. But so I think I didn't like that there were boundaries, you know, that it was like, there's a right and wrong way to sing this aria.
Sure.
And, you know, now that I'm older, I really appreciate that again. But I think at the time I was like, I want to just be able to explore, and I want to be able to do my own thing, and I want to express myself in whatever way feels right. And it definitely felt like theater, there was more room for that. That being said, you know, if you're doing classical theater, it's sort of the same thing. There's a right and wrong way to do things. But
yeah, exactly. Okay, so then what brought you, what specifically brought you to New York then? Was it a certain show?
No, I just, you know, when I was graduating, I thought, you know, some people, I think, from the Midwest go to Chicago because there's a great theater scene there, too. But I kind of was like, I want to just go for it. I want to go someplace different. I want to go to New York and start there. And then I can always come back to the Midwest if I end up, you know, hating the East Coast, or I never get a job or whatever. And I had friends from college who were already living out there, too. So it wasn't like a hugely scary decision to make.
Sure.
But I've learned to really love it. I love the East so much. It's been really cool to live out there for the past several years, and you know, kind of get to experience a whole other part of the country.
For sure. What other shows have you done? Either in New York, or have you done any other national tours?
I did a national tour of Xanadu a few years back.
Oh wow! Nice. What role were you in Xanadu?
Yeah. Totally different. I was the Olivia Newton-John part here. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like, totally different than this show.
That's so cool.
And then last year on Broadway, I did On the Town. I was Claire de Lune in that.
Wow, and, On the Town.
Yeah, I made my Broadway debut in the last Sondheim revival of Company. It was the John Doyle directed one where we were all the actors, were also the musicians.
Okay.
So that was a pretty awesome Broadway debut. Just the experience of it was like very much a dream come true. So
for On the Town,
I always felt like after that, I was like, you know, I hope I continue to work and have a career and, you know, get to do things. But if I don't, that was so satisfying. I could leave and be like, I did that.
Well, it's also the perfect one for New York too, because, you know, it's being your first one, it sort of tells you, it maps out the city for you. The Bronx is up and the Battery's down. It does the whole thing.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's true. It's really been fun to do two different shows that, because you're right, like Company takes place in New York, and then sort of On the Town was just such a treat. It was like a great, great group of people and a really fun piece to work on.
Yeah. Well, now it's Bridges of Madison County. I'm sure you're going to be going hard at this for what? When's the tour end? Like another couple months probably?
Yeah, we're getting close to the end. We only have one city actually after D.C., so yeah, we end sort of the middle of July. Yeah, it's feeling really close now.
Well, I'm hoping you're saving the best for second to last for D.C.
You better believe it.
Yeah, of course. And then you'll probably say the same thing for whatever the next city is. What's the next city?
No, D.C. will be really special. I think like the entire tour that I would say everyone's been really looking forward to being there.
Okay. And then so what's the final city after us?
Greenville.
Oh, Greenville. Okay. And then what's next for you? What should we, if they see you in Bridges of Madison County, what should we look for you in? Do you have anything lined up?
Oh, I love that question. No.
I'll get back to you about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what will be next in store for me. Obviously, two sort of irons in the fire, so hopefully they'll be happening. And I'm going on vacation to Greece, so you can look for me there.
You're just dropping things to make us all jealous. Hey, I'm just going to Greece, you know.
No,
is that because you played Olivia Newton-John, now you're going to Greece? Ah, see what we did? Okay, so cool. Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, we'll focus on this now, but absolutely on social media, keep our listeners posted on what show you got going next. We'd love to, you know, follow your career.
I will. Thank you.
All right, cool. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, it's Bridges of Madison County, the musical, June 28th through July 17th at the Kennedy Center. Come check it out. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
All right. Thank you.